Welcome to another edition of The Compass, a podcast ministry of Calvary Baptist Church of Fayetteville, Arkansas. I'm your host, Dan Carson, pastor of Family Ministries here at Calvary. We're thrilled that you've chosen to find us online as we continue our study through God's Word. If you have questions about the Word or about our ministry here in Fayetteville, let me encourage you to reach out. You can find us at info@calvaryfayetteville.com or call us at 479-442-4634. If you're enjoying listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to write a review and share a podcast through social media with others. Those reviews help others find us as they search for answers in their own life. On today's podcast, I have the privilege of sharing from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20, as we talk about encountering the real change maker. Let's listen together. This morning, we're going to talk about encountering the real change maker. For the past several weeks, Pastor Kirk has been leading us through a study over the book and person of Jonah. We've learned a great deal about racism, about nationalism, about compassion, and about real repentance. We've also learned that while Jonah was one of God's chosen prophets, he was a flawed human being with struggles of his own. Now, I know that I have been challenged as we've looked at the book and the person of Jonah. Now, next week, the plan is to return to our study in the book of Mark. And so this week, I want to challenge you. We are going to be starting with Mark chapter 6. So it's easy enough. Read a chapter of Mark a day. You can 5 days. You should be caught up. We'll all be on the same page as we begin that study together. And if Pastor Kirk changes his mind and we look at something different, then you've read through the first chapter, 5 chapters of Mark. So let me encourage you, mark that down somewhere. Write that out. Say, I'm going to read those 5 chapters, 1 chapter a day. As we study Jonah and have seen the events of the past few months involving race transpire, Pastor Kirk and I have had a number of conversations. We've talked about his experience at Central High School in Little Rock and other times of seeing racial conflicts in his lifetime. I shared about growing up in a town that was virtually all white. It has only been within the past 30 years where people of color have started to become a real part of the Springdale community. Our stories are probably like yours. Racism has been a part of our worlds. Whether we want to admit it or not, it has been here with us in the South. And while we want to see change, real change, there really hasn't been. Even now, groups want to forcibly bring about change by defunding police departments and putting legislation in place that will ensure change. The truth is that no amount of legislation will bring about heart transformation. Real change in our world and society can only occur when the gospel makes its mark on the hearts and souls of men and women. It is in that gospel message that we are reminded that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus in Galatians 3:28. What the world needs now isn't just love or good intentions. The world, our community, our neighborhoods, our families, and we personally, we need an encounter with Jesus Christ. It is in that relationship that we find the real change maker. He can call us to true repentance and shape us into who we need to be for the world that we are living in right now. And I know that there's a lot of confusion. There are things happening in our world that I never thought I would see, and I can only imagine for those that date back maybe a generation or two even before me. It's unfathomable, the things that are happening in our society. And we wonder what's going on. But then we look to a God who loves us, who cares about us, and that he can bring about real change. But it has to start there. It starts with heart transformation. And it's with those things in mind that I want us to look at Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. We've all had encounters with people that have been meaningful. But an encounter with Jesus is totally different. Now, just a few years ago, I remember having the opportunity to meet Anthony Daniels at a convention. And so, I don't know if you know who Anthony Daniels is. If you like Star Wars, you may have seen C-3PO, the robot, the gold guy. But I had a chance to meet him. at this convention. He was signing things. You'd go up, you'd give him a comic book or a picture or whatever, and you would talk with him. And it was a surreal moment when the voice of C-3PO is asking, "Did your dad take you to go see Star Wars when you were little?" It's a weird thing. It was an incredible moment. It was an incredible encounter. But was it life-altering? No. Was it cool? Yes. But life-changing? Not really. Now, if we really want to get to life-altering encounters, I have to go back to my senior year in high school. During that year, life was quite a bit different for me. My family wasn't in church. But I had a church full of people at Springdale Missionary Baptist Church that loved me and that cared about me. That senior year, I went to Encounter 89, and I met a passionate, intelligent, spiritually minded young lady for the first time there at the Arkansas Teen Bible Conference. We were in a breakout group together, and like most life-changing encounters, I had no idea what was in store for me. We saw each other again at an ABS retreat, but it wasn't until the next fall that this person really became my friend and confidant. It wasn't for another year and a half until we went on our first date, and as you might have guessed, that person is Temple. Two children, three dogs, different dogs, and a whole host of ministry adventures later, my life was completely altered by that encounter back in high school. But even that didn't bring about real change to my heart. While I'm definitely a different person than when Temple and I first met, being with someone doesn't change the DNA of who you are. God has to get involved for that sort of change to occur. See, that occurred for me back in December of 1980 when I accepted the invitation of the Holy Spirit to enter into a relationship with Jesus, and my heart was really changed at a little church in Potosi, Missouri, White Oak Grove Missionary Baptist Church. My encounter with Jesus molded my heart and sent me on a lifelong path of sanctification and of service. Now, I imagine if I went around this room and we talked about your encounter with Jesus, what did that look like? Where was that? When did it happen? We could sit here for hours sharing and enjoying those stories because they're so meaningful. But that moment for me was when my life was changed. Today, I want us to look at two men as they encountered Jesus in a significant way. You see, there were many who encountered Jesus while he walked on this planet. We have countless stories in the Gospels of men and women, children that were blind and they were made to see. They were lame and they were made to walk. They were possessed by demons and they were set free. He raised the dead. Jesus had incredible encounters with people. In our passage today, we see that Jesus encountered two men a little bit later. We see that Jesus encountered Saul, who later becomes Paul, and Ananias of Damascus. Now, that name Ananias can sometimes get a little confusing when you look in the book of Acts. It was Ananias and Sapphira. If you read about them a little bit earlier in Acts, you know that they lied to the church and lied to the Holy Spirit, and boom, they were taken out. But this is a servant of God, and we're going to find out more about him. Now, after all of those things, and we see them, it was in these encounters that Jesus brought about real change in one of their lives. So that's where we're going to be. What we're going to be looking at this morning, spending some time thinking about encounters with Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for this church and how it continues to bless me and my family. I just ask that you help us to reach out in love to those around us. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for how you care. And Father, just help us to encounter you today. Forgive us where we fail you. In Christ, and we pray, amen. Well, let me set the stage. I think that's important. From what we know of Saul up to this point in Scripture, we see a man who is very passionate about his religion. You may encounter people like that in churches today that are very fervent. They want to be a church. They want to be involved in things, but this was a little bit different. You see, we see him at the end of chapter 7 where he is just a young man at Stephen's stoning. You turn back in chapter 7, verse 58, it simply says this, "Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him," talking about Stephen. "And the witnesses lay down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul." So when this happened, Saul is not there saying, "Stop, stop." He's actually there cheering things on. That staying with their cloaks, that motion, those things that he was doing was showing his support of what was happening. If we look at Acts 8 and 1 through 3, we see that Saul was involved in ravaging the church. There it says, "And Saul approved of his execution," again talking about Stephen. "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison." Now that's hard for us to imagine. We hear about persecution in this world of Christians, but we haven't faced it, nothing to this extent. We don't have people barging into our homes and carrying the moms, the dads off because they believe in Jesus Christ. That doesn't happen here. Now, we may face ridicule. We may face prejudice. We may face all sorts of other things, but it is not what we're seeing here. They were committing them to prison. Saul was making a reputation for himself as the great persecutor of the church. Now imagine if we knew of someone who was going from church house to church house, bringing a group of soldiers to cart off those claiming to be Christ followers. If that was happening today, we knew that there was a point, at some point in our service, people might barge in and grab as many people as they can and take them to prison. That's hard for us to think about. It's hard for us to imagine. Would it change our actions? Simple truth, it might. I know that during this time of pandemic, there have been those that haven't come back. Not just here at Calvary, but across the country. Cultural Christianity is dying. It's falling away. What that means is those that just go to church because it's the right thing to do, they're not coming back. True followers of Christ are going to be here. They're going to gather with God's people. They're going to gather in an online space if that's the only way that they can come and be safe. It still is important to them. It's important to us. So would it change us? Would we be doing anything different if we knew that that type of persecution was possible? It might. Now, in these chapters of Acts, it was even worse, though. Saul was entering people's homes. We often think of our homes as a place we can do whatever we want. We think of it as our castle where we are safe, we can worship, and it doesn't impact anyone. That definitely wasn't the case in Saul's mindset. With great zeal, he tracked down those that were following the way and then had them committed to prison. That is, until he had an encounter with Jesus in Acts chapter 9. So I just want us to, again, I still want to set the stage. There's some things that I want us to see as they encounter Jesus. But in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, there it says, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Saul was full of hate. And he got letters so that he could continue to round up the followers of the way, or round up Christians. That's what he was doing. Those that were following Christ, those that were seeking and knew that Jesus was the Messiah, that was Saul's job. He was committed to that. If we go on in Acts 9, verses 3 through 6, we see that Saul encountered Jesus in a big way and is told what to do. There it says, "Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do.'" Saul encounters Jesus in a big way, and he's given very specific instructions of what's going to happen.
And I love images. You'll notice that when we put together the worship set and I put it on Instagram, I love to find a great image. And I look for an image to use as a background, since this is just an in-between sermon. We've had our sermon series on Jonah. Then we're going back to our series on Mark. Well, guess what? Dan, because it's Labor Day weekend, I get to preach whatever, which is fun. But I couldn't find the right image, because to me, there was nothing out there that could really display what Paul must have encountered. This bright light on his road to Damascus. He encountered Jesus in such a big way. So I didn't even try. You see, it's a black background. Saul encountered Jesus, and he was changed in that moment. But he steps through some things here. In verses 7 through 9, there it says, the men who were traveling with him, they stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. And Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Saul had to be helped into town because now he is blind. He couldn't see. What I find interesting is that these guards, they heard a voice, but they didn't see Jesus. And in seeing Jesus, Saul was blinded. He is overwhelming when we encounter him. Now, the second part of our story shows another man's encounter with Jesus. And I think that's important for us to note. This is really showing us the way that two different people respond to Jesus. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to compare Saul as well as Ananias of Damascus. We're going to talk about how their encounters with Jesus were different. Ananias of Damascus is visited by Jesus in a vision, is told to pay Saul a visit. Now, this isn't really what any believer wants to hear at this point. Imagine you're told that you're supposed to go to the great persecutor of Christians and do something for him. That's what God was telling, he was telling Ananias to do. In this vision, the vision of Jesus coming in a vision, Ananias is told to go to him and to minister to him. And after a brief interchange, he is obedient to God. I think the correlation here is we look back at what we studied about Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. What did Jonah do? Jonah head for the hills. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to go to those that were persecuting God's people. They were suffering by the hands and the Ninevites. He didn't want any of that. But Ananias, even though he asked the question, he was still obedient to God almost immediately. Through Ananias' obedience, Saul's sight is restored. Saul is baptized, and Saul starts preaching almost immediately because of his encounter with Jesus. As I've already stated, an encounter with Jesus can bring about big change in our hearts and lives. It is the big change that we need in our world, in our community, and in our homes. As we look at our passage this morning, I want us to see what an encounter with Jesus can do for you. That's what we need to understand today. You may have struggled with the thoughts of racism, and we hide those things really well. And as long as we don't talk about it, it's out there, but God is wanting to transform our heart. Maybe the ultranationalism, that's something that you struggle with. Maybe it is something completely different that you are keeping hidden. God wants to bring about change in your life. He is that change maker. And so what we want to do is to see what an encounter with Jesus can do for you and for me. Number one, an encounter with Jesus reveals our standing with God. I want us to look back there in chapter 9. So we look at 9, we see in verse 5, Saul says this, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Now that may seem like a very simple question, but to me, what it does is it shows me exactly where Saul is. Saul has been one who has studied the scriptures. He has spent time learning about his religion, about the Jewish faith. He was looking for a Messiah. Yet in this moment when Jesus appeared to him, he said, "Who are you?" He didn't know who Jesus was. And in his answer, in his question, he revealed the fact that he didn't have a relationship with God. Because we know that that relationship only comes through Jesus Christ. He didn't know Jesus. And so when he encountered Jesus, he had to ask a question. Now, if we look over here a little bit further in this passage, and we see in verse 10, Ananias says, starting in the first part of verse 10, it says, "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.'" Now here's the difference. Ananias knew Jesus. He didn't become freaked out by this vision of Jesus. He wasn't worried about what was going on. In other parts of Scripture, even when you have people such as Mary and Joseph, as they're receiving news about how God is going to use them, there is this concept of don't be afraid. But we don't hear that from Ananias, not here. What we see is that Ananias knew Jesus, and his response was, "Here I am, Lord." So when we encounter Jesus today, people can have a very clear and understanding of what that means. That means that you either know him or you don't. And you'll see that very quickly. If they're going, "Who is this?" or "Here I am." An encounter with Jesus reveals our standing with God. Secondly, an encounter with Jesus brings direction in our lives. One of the things as a student pastor I've heard over the years is, "Dan, what should I do with my life? What's God's will for my life? What do I need to do? Where do I need to go to college? Who do I need to marry?" I've heard them all over the years, those different questions. Those of us in student ministry have. People come to us wondering what we should do, and it's not just student pastors. Pastors hear those same type of questions. What is God's will? Well, here's the main thing. We have God's will. It's in book form. We have to know it. We have to understand it. We can see those simple truths that we have there, and we can outline our have our life. But here in this moment, God gives two men very specific direction. And there are going to be moments where you're going to read God's word, and he is going to give you very specific direction. When God called me to the gospel ministry to preach and to share the word in that way, there was no doubt in my mind what God's word was telling me. That I would surrender everything for him. It was one of those periods in my life where God's word kept hitting me over with truth. It didn't matter where I was at in my devotional book. It didn't matter where I was at in my reading. God was saying, "Surrender everything." Every time I turned on the radio, Stephen Curtis Chapman was singing, "I Surrender All for the Sake of the Call." Now, those words were repeating over and over for me. So there are going to be moments as you read God's word, it's going to be very clear and very direct. And when you have that encounter with Jesus, he is going to bring direction into your life. And he did the same thing here. If we look in back in chapter 9, we see as Saul is going through this, in verse 6 it says, "But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." That's a little simple statement. But Jesus, after that encounter with Saul, Jesus gave Saul very clear instructions, and he obeyed. He did those things that he was supposed to do. Now, if we look on down in verse 11, it says, and this is Jesus again saying to Ananias, and the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight at the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." When we have an encounter with Jesus, Jesus brings us direction to our life. And you may be thinking, "Well, I don't know what to do next with this situation or that situation." There are too many times that we completely ignore God's word in that process. I will tell you that one of the struggles that I've had in my life is staying consistently in God's word. Pastor Kirk has talked to us about soaping. I've shared a little bit about that as well. This idea of not of bar soap, taking care of, you know, we do want to do those things, especially during this time. I made an announcement this past Friday night. I had the chance to announce at the Lincoln Wolves football game. One of my announcements that I had to repeat on a loop was wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. But that's not what we're talking about. Soaping is this idea of scripture observation, application, and prayer. It's a journaling system where you learn God's word and you get in there and you study it. But for me, this works. It's a way that helps me. But that's always been one of my struggles. But when I'm in God's word, his will becomes so clear to me. When I have my daily encounter with Jesus, there's no doubt of what I need to do next, because I'm walking in the steps that he has provided for me. So an encounter with Jesus brings direction in our lives. Number three, an encounter with Jesus brings about answers. Now, we have all sorts of questions in our lives. As we have looked at over these past 5 or 6 months, we've been asking God a lot of questions. I don't know about you, but that's been my case. God, why are you allowing this to happen in our country? Why are businesses struggling? Why? For me, I was dealing with other questions with my children's health. God, why are you allowing this to happen to Riley? Why did he have to have 3 surgeries in that short amount of time? Why is he having to go through this? He's 21 years old. So I ask God a lot of questions. An encounter with Jesus starts bringing answers again. We encounter Jesus through the word, because he is the word. But here we see both Saul and Ananias both receive some answers to questions that they had. And Jesus provides answers when we have an encounter with him. Saul asks the question, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." He was very clear, very easy to understand answer to this question. He identified himself. He let Saul know who he was encountering. He gave him a clear answer for what was next. Now, Ananias, as we go back down into that portion of the scripture, verse 13, "But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed. He did those things. He received his answer. Ananias wasn't too sure about a man named Saul. In fact, he questioned whether or not this was really what God wanted. And I think that'd be the type of question that we might have had. I know that was the type of question as we look back on this study on the book of Jonah. I'm sure Jonah was asking those questions, but that's where it stopped. Jonah asked himself those questions. I don't know if he even asked God those questions. He just said, "No. I'm gone. I'm leaving. I'm running away from what you want, because I'm not going to do that." Whereas Ananias asked the questions, heard from God, and responded and did what God wanted him to do. An encounter with Jesus brings us answers for those questions of life. It brought answers to both Saul and Ananias in this moment, in this passage of Scripture, and he wants to provide answers for you. And number four, an encounter with Jesus brings about a change of heart. We know from what we have seen in chapter 8, even in chapter 7 of Acts, and here in chapter 9, that Saul was a man who was passionate about his faith, was misguided because he was not seeing who Jesus was. But after Saul had an encounter with Jesus, we see the greatest thing ever. Verse 20, it said, "Immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God." Now, there are a lot of people that doubted that there had been real transformation, that he wasn't just trying to trick everybody and fool everybody into rounding up more Christians. But his encounter with Jesus brought about a change of heart. It was a powerful thing that not only affected what was happening there immediately and not only affected Saul himself, but honestly affect all of us. Because if we look in the New Testament, many of the books that we read, the letters, for the most part, these are letters written to the churches, are written by a man named Paul, who was at first called Saul. He helped shape what we believe and who we are. God used him in that way. And in those moments, in this moment, God changed his heart through an encounter with his son, Jesus Christ. And in verse 20, we see that Saul is saying in the synagogues, proclaiming Jesus, that he is the Son of God. We also see a change of heart from Ananias of Damascus. You see, he simply thought differently about Saul after this encounter. What we see is he, of course, is pointing out in verse 12 and, verse 13, 14, that this is the man who is a persecutor. But in verse 17, it says, "So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul.'" Now, that one little word shows us a whole change of heart. He didn't doubt what God had done through his son, Jesus Christ. He didn't doubt what had happened in Saul's life. He simply reached out in faith and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like the scales fell from his eyes and regained his sight. Then he rose and he was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. Ananias had that moment of change of heart. Now, when that happened, maybe it was when Jesus spoke and said, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles." I don't know when it happened, but we know that it happened. Now, I love the phrase or the kind of title that we've used over the years. We don't use it as much here, and I haven't used it as much in more recent years when we call brother and sister, often when it was pastors that we'd refer to in that way. But there's a biblical mandate for that because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And what Ananias did was recognized that moment and said that, "Saul, you are my brother in Christ, and I rejoice in that." An encounter with Jesus can do a lot of things. It reveals our standing with God. An encounter with Jesus brings direction. An encounter with Jesus brings answers. And an encounter with Jesus brings about a change of heart. So my questions are for you. I have two questions this morning that I want us to kind of wrap things up on. This first one is that, have you encountered the risen Savior? Now, as I look around, and I even said it this morning, I know almost everyone in here, that you are either a longtime part of Calvary, and my prayer is that everyone in this room knows Jesus Christ. But I know that there are some that don't, that haven't had that encounter with Jesus. Now, for some of us who are older, that may have included, we may have come down to the front at a church, we may have even knelt in an altar and prayed a little prayer and not been sure of what we were doing, and even got baptized and stepped through several things, and then realized that we never asked Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. That happens. And we go throughout our entire life, and things just kind of build and keep rolling and rolling. I think about my friend who is over at Beacon Baptist Church in Gravette, Kenny. Kenny, just recently, within these past couple of years, accepted Jesus. Kenny and his wife were the youth directors at Beacon. He thought he was saved. He thought he had done all the right things, but it's not a matter of doing the right things. It's about Jesus coming into our hearts and transforming us in a real way. Have you encountered Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior? I know that over the years we've gotten fire insurance. And that's what, you know, a phrase that we've used at different times, at different places. I think back to even when I was a child, that was a great motivator for me. For me, it was the rapture. At that point, rapture talk of Revelation, I thought for sure I was going to be left behind, and that was going to be stuck there. My brother was too young, didn't know Jesus, and I knew I needed to know Jesus, and my family knew Jesus. So I was going to be that one person left behind, stuck behind, and that was a motivator in me accepting Jesus as my Savior. But he has been and continues to be Lord of my life as well. And he must be. So, have you encountered the risen Savior? And number two, what difference has that made in your life? Not do you just gather with other believers. That's kind of the entryway. When we encounter Jesus, there is sanctification that happens. We are made right in the image of God. But there is a lifelong series of things that happen. It's called progressive sanctification as we become more like Jesus in that process. And so I want to encourage you to evaluate your life. This period has been great. As I have sat and thought about different things in ministry, started thinking about different things in my life, as I've been stuck, not been able to do as many things as I would normally do, I've sat and wondered, what difference has Jesus made in my life? And I have to take time to evaluate. Now, hopefully you didn't fill up your time with Netflix. Now, you may have done some of that, or Hulu or Prime or any of those other streaming services that you have, because, you know, or Food Network. I know there's somebody over there who loves Food Network. Same here. But that's not what life is all about. Life is about Jesus. It's about a relationship with him, growing in that relationship. So have you encountered the risen Savior? Have you met Jesus? And what difference has that made in your life today? It made a huge difference in Saul's life. It apparently continued to make a difference in Ananias' life as he was listening for Jesus. And God was able to use both of these men in incredible ways, and they were right there when they needed to be there because of that encounter with Jesus. That's my prayer today, is that you know Jesus in a real way, that as we leave this place, that you carry Jesus with you, that he is a part of your everyday life as you are there with your families, you are there with all the different people in your life, your coworkers. And I know that some of you are still working from home, maybe even teaching from home, doing those different things. You need to carry Jesus with you into that space and let people know that Jesus can make a difference in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for this story of encounter that we find in the book of Acts. And Father, I ask that you help us as we evaluate those two questions today. Have I met Jesus? And Father, what difference is that making in my life? God, you are good and you are worthy of our praise. And I just ask that you use times like this, moments like this, when we are maybe stuck at home more than we want to be, not able to do things that we want to do, that you will give us pause and help us to evaluate where we're at, what we need to do next, that you will use these opportunities for us to reach out in love to those around us. God, just use us in the days ahead. Help us to be your people. In Christ and we pray, amen.
Our heart's desire is that you grow and understand the direction God has for you in your life. We hope that by listening today, you are one step closer to discovering that for yourself. If you live in Northwest Arkansas and are looking for a church to call your own, we invite you to reach out to us at Calvary as we study and serve together. We meet for worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings at 1410 North Porter Road in Fayetteville, Arkansas. If you wish to find out more information about Calvary Church or simply contact us, you can do that through our Facebook page or at calvaryfayetteville.com. Until next time, remember that God, His Word, and His people can provide direction for life.